We're pilgrims on the journey of a narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race, not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful.
Each one of us, we're writing a book. Every day is a page. Amen? Amen. Like it, open your Bibles, please. The book of Judges. The book of Judges, way back in the Old Testament. After the death of Joshua, there was a vacuum of leadership in the nation of Israel. The book of Joshua is a book of victory. And the book of Judges is a book of defeat. Various men and women were made judges to lead Israel during the years of unrest. Judges chapter 6, please. This period of Israel's history records a pattern, a cycle of oppression and deliverance. It was also a time of spiritual disorder and civil disorder. There were good judges and there were bad judges. And in chapter 7, Gideon led his army against the Midianites, and they were troubling Israel terribly, and God gave him specific instructions, and when they were followed, there was a great victory. But Gideon is called by God in chapter 6, and verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds." They're hiding. Notice verse number 6 through 12. "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." And a prophet ought to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen? Amen. That is the message of God's prophets of the Old Testament. Not what I say, not what I think, but what God has to say. And verse number 9, "I brought you up from Egypt," the Lord says, "and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat down under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash and Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And let us pray. Father, thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. We know that all things were made by you and for you and for your glory. May your word accomplish its purposes tonight. Magnify yourself. Thank you for your love and your mercy which endureth forever. And we ask these things in Jesus' name for his sake. And all the people that love God said, amen and amen. I'd like you to look at chapter 7 now. And we look at the battle, the victory in the face of defeat, in the face of terrible odds. You know, God's ways many times are not our ways. The longer I live, the more I'm reminded of that. Amen? Notice chapter 7, verse number 13. "And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midian and came into a tent and smote it, and it fell and turned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand, with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, Then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets, brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And so records the great victory of Israel because of how they cried out to God for help and mercy. And the Bible is full of stories of how God wins victories. God's ways are not our ways. Many times He delights in turning adversity into victories. Gideon here is greatly outnumbered, and yet because the Lord called him and gave him specific instructions, Israel is miraculously once again delivered. God used Gideon in answer to Israel's desperate prayers. This story tells us how God uses brokenness for His glory. The word broken in the scriptures is related to both sorrows and joys, sometimes tragedies and victories, or defeats. I'd like us to look at a few things broken in the scriptures where God gives victories. I'd like you to look in the New Testament to Mark chapter 14, please. Mark chapter 14, verse numbers 1, 2, and 3. Mark chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death, speaking of Jesus. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Costly perfume. And verse number 4, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Notice verse 6, and I'm so glad it's in the Bible, aren't you? And Jesus said, let her alone. Do you know if you ever want to do anything for the Lord, there will always be opposition?
Yes.
That's just like gravity. You can't go forward without friction. And Jesus said, let her alone. Yes, this box of ointment was costly. Yes, she was criticized. You say, well, Pastor, I want people to love me. Well, wouldn't that be a wonderful world if everyone loved us? Amen. It's our job to love people. We're to love all people, all kinds of people, just the way God loved us. Amen?
Amen.
He loved us when we didn't deserve it. And we love Him because He first loved us. Well, you say, Pastor, how can I be a Christian and never be criticized? Can't. There's one way. You could be a closet Christian, not tell anyone. Say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. But you know what? God said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we also find that for 2,000 plus years, she has been commended by the Lord, and the scriptures record what the Lord says about her. And the Lord said, leave her alone. Just let her be. She's done a great thing. Now, notice he says, verse 6, "Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do good, but me you have not always. She hath done what she could." You know, that's what the Lord asks of all of us, just to do what we're able to do with what He gives us, whatever it is that He gives us. He's given all of us a life, amen? We all have time. We all have some talents. We're to just do what we're able to do. And the Bible says, "She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And for over 2,000 years, churches around the world have been telling the story of how this woman loved the Lord and was willing to do the great deed that she did in His name. And that broken box, even though she lost it, she really didn't lose it, did she? As she anointed His feet for his future burial. And so that broken box turned around to a great victory. And people have been talking about how generous she was and how loving she was for all of these years. I look, you look at Matthew chapter 14. There's broken bread here. Broken bread. We've had a broken box that God used. Matthew chapter 14, verse 16 through 20. "But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give you them to eat. And they said unto Him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And He said, Bring them hither to Me. And He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to His disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled." Sounds like having dinner at Tony Rinaldi's house. You get filled there. Tony, I'll never forget that dinner, the first dinner you invited me and Linda to years ago. Matter of fact, I'm still full from it. The first course, salad, soup. I thought, this is pretty good. I guess this is all we're going to have, but I'm full. Second course, more stuff. I was getting ready to say, thank you, Tony, we really have to be going now. Third course. Fourth course. And then, of course, desserts.
7 courses.
I know. I still, just thinking of it, I've never had that feeling in my entire life. I don't think I've ever been back there either, but I was full. And notice verse 20, "And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full." A miracle, the feeding of the multitude. But that bread had to be broken and blessed before there were leftovers. Amen? Humanly speaking, they did not have enough to go around. Humanly speaking, they needed the Lord to intervene. But Jesus knew exactly what He was going to do before He even asked them, didn't He? He knew exactly what He was going to do. And they brought what they had to Him. And as they brought what they had to Him, He blessed it and the need was met. That's a great lesson there for all of us, isn't it? Bring what we have to the Lord and ask Him to bless it. And He will. We can either worry, or we can pray. We can trust Him, or we can give up in defeat. Amen. That bread was also symbolic of His body that would be on the cross soon and bruised for us. But you know, multitudes have been fed by the bread of life. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Amen. And multitudes have been fed. Multitudes have had victory in their life by coming to the Lord, the bread of life. coming to Him with their adversities, coming to Him with their trials, coming to Him and being willing to say, Lord, I've messed up my life because I've allowed You not to take control of it. I'm taking all of my problems now to You, and I'm asking You to be Lord and Master and Ruler of my life. Like we look at Matthew chapter 26, we have a broken promise. Broken promise that's turned around to victory. Sometimes promises are hard to keep. But if we make a promise, we ought to try our best to keep it. And I'm sure that sometimes when promises are made, people really believe what they're saying at that moment. I've heard multitudes of people say, Pastor, I'll see you Sunday. And I believe them, and they believe it when they say it. Sunday rolls around, where are they? An emergency takes place. You know, the devil will give you an emergency every week if you let him. Amen?
Amen.
But notice this broken promise, Matthew chapter 26. Let's go down to verse 31, please. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Those are the kind of friends you need. And I'm sure he meant every word of it at that moment. But as we know the story, he became weak under pressure. Amen? And he made this promise, I will never be offended. I'll be right at your side. Verse 34, And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, I'm glad Jesus knows the future. Amen? He knows everything before it happens. Amen. He's a God that can be trusted in all situations. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our broken promises. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. Amen?
Amen.
And He still loves us. He's like that parent that loves unconditionally. Notice verse 35. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee. Let me correct you, Jesus. You said that we're going to be offended and deny you. Let me straighten out your thinking, Lord. Let me teach you something here. Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. You are wrong. Likewise said all the disciples. Yeah, amen, Peter. You're right. We're not going to deny. We're going to die with him. And they meant it. They really meant it. These promises were made on the Mount of Olives. Right before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And right before Jesus prays earnestly into the night, great drops of blood from his face. Praying in agony with the Father over what was about to happen to him as he willingly gives his life for us, as he willingly hangs on the cross and sheds his blood and dies a violent death. While all his disciples made this promise, they're sound asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane as our Lord alone prays earnestly into the night. Yes, broken promises. Our Lord gives us many opportunities to rededicate ourselves to Him. Amen? Every day is a new day. Every day is a new opportunity. We may have failed Him yesterday, but you know what? We can make a new start today. Broken promises are broken vows. Have you made any promises to the Lord lately? You know, the Lord expects us to keep them. And if we fail, we can take our failures to the Lord. And there is forgiveness with Him. I'd like you to look at Psalm 124, please. Psalm 124. Psalm 124. Verse number 7. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. Notice the Bible says the snare is broken and we are escaped. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Maybe someone this morning is caught in the snare. They're trapped. Maybe they're trapped in a bad habit. You know, Jesus can break that snare. Amen? He can spring you from that trap. Maybe someone this morning is caught in the trap of swearing. Can't stop saying bad words. You know, Jesus can break you of that habit. Amen? Maybe this morning someone has a problem with drugs or an addiction or alcohol or complaining or gossiping. Jesus can break that snare. Amen. He really can if we come to Him as we're supposed to each day. Our defeat can be God's victory if we'll give it over to Him. Maybe this morning someone is in a trap of hanging around the wrong crowd. You know, hanging around the wrong crowd, young people, will always get you into trouble. Amen. Sooner or later, it will get you into trouble. Amen. They'll wear you down. And the things that you've promised you'd never do, you'll find yourself doing. Amen. But Jesus can break that snare of being around the wrong crowd. The wrong ways of the world can have you in their power also. But your defeat can be God's victory. How about broken hearts this morning? Aren't you glad that God can mend broken hearts? Broken hearts can be turned around into victory.
Amen.
I'd like you to look at 2 Samuel. King David experienced about every kind of situation a human being could go through in this life. He had known some wonderful joys. His heart had been broken a number of times. And through it all, he still clung to his faith in the Lord. But in 2 Samuel chapter 18, he went through something that is just terrible and heartbreaking. His son dies. And death, of course, is devastating enough. But in this situation, his son Absalom had turned on his own father and divided his kingdom and turned away the people from following his dad, and even forced his father to flee from his life, from Jerusalem, and he was on the run from his own son. Notice verse 33, and the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, Absalom, my son, O my son. In that civil war, his son was killed in battle. And his heart was broken in spite of the fact that his son had betrayed him. And his son, in his desperate attempt to take control and power over Israel, David's heart is broken as he was betrayed, but still his heart was broken also because his son was dead now. In spite of the fact that Absalom tried to take over his throne, in spite of the fact that his son caused a civil war in Israel. You know, there's nothing more heartbreaking than fighting in a family. Would you agree with me? That's heartbreaking when people in a family are fighting.
Amen.
My father would never put up with fighting. I could still see him this morning. I'd be arguing with my brothers. And my dad would come in the room and he'd say, I don't care who's right or wrong, this stops right now. Yeah, but dad, you don't understand. Now. But he, now. But you don't, now. But now. He would not put up with it. I said, but Dad, he said, no fighting. I don't care who's right or wrong. We'll settle it later. There will be. I'd say, but no problem. He just wouldn't put up with it. You know, as I look back at it, it's pretty biblical. You know, nothing good can come from families fighting with one another. David's mourning the death of his son. In chapter 19, we look at verses 1 and 2. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people. For the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son." And David returns now to Jerusalem. He returns to his throne. And he returns with a broken heart. Here, a broken heart. Actually, it does bring a victory to Israel, but the king still has a deep, heavy heart. It reminds me of Jesus' broken heart. If you look at John chapter 19, or just listen if I read chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. "But when they were come to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." Here the Lord Jesus Christ had already died. What the Roman soldiers were used to was to put them to death so that they wouldn't linger on the cross for many more hours, grasping for breath. They would break their legs so they couldn't stand up anymore, and they would suffocate. And a crucifixion is a terrible way to die. And they broke the legs of the thieves on each side of Jesus. And when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. Our Savior died of a broken heart. He died with our names on his mind. And if he moved from that cross, you and I would have been lost forever. But thank God he didn't come down. Amen? Amen. Such love to keep him there on the cross until the very end of his life. And he died with a broken heart. But you know what? That broken heart didn't last forever. And the disciples had a broken heart as they watched him die. Did you ever feel gloomy? I meant just plain gloomy. Did you ever have a day like that? It's not very much fun, is it, to be gloomy? I'd like you to look at Luke chapter 24. We get a sense of what the disciples are going through as they watch the Savior die. They see him hanging on the cross. What gloom they're experiencing. What heartache they're going through. In chapter 24, verse 13. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that he should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that he had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't it amazing? Jesus, after he's resurrected, he is teaching the scriptures to these people. What does that tell us about the importance of the Bible in our lives? Amen? The Bible gives us hope. The scriptures gives us hope today. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures? Now their gloom is vanished. Now their heartbreak is gone, because the Lord himself was with them. Amen? It all disappeared as Jesus appeared before them and opened their eyes and their understanding. And today, our Lord takes his place at the right hand of God, and he prays for the church. He prays for those on earth that know him. He's our high priest. Those that have gone after, those that have already passed on into the next world are with him, but he doesn't pray for them. He prays for us. Those of us that are here in this world that belong to him, he is praying for us. Let Jesus bring victory through brokenness when it comes to your life. When you go through a trial, let him bring you to victory. If you're going through heartache, let him bring you to victory. This morning, if you do not know him as Savior and Lord, if you died this morning and you're not certain that you go to heaven, let him be your Lord and Savior and allow him to wash away all of your sins. Maybe this morning you've been caught in a trap. You need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. Allow him to do that in your life. Let us pray. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and as our pianist plays a verse of invitation this morning, be anyone say, Pastor, if I died this morning, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I want to be. I want to accept the Lord Jesus this morning as he passes by, as he has spoken to my heart. I want to be remembered in prayer. Can I see your hand? Anyone like that? Pastor, I want to be remembered in the closing prayer. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure I've been born again. I want to be remembered in prayer. There be a Christian this morning and say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart about broken things being turned into victories, and I certainly would like him to intervene in a situation in my life this morning. I want to be remembered in prayer. Anyone like that this morning? See your hand, please. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. Others? You can talk to the Lord right now. He's willing to do that as you lean upon him. Heavenly Father, have your will and your invitation this morning. We pray that you would mend the hearts that are broken. Pray that you'd intervene in situations where there is concern. We need you today, Father. Bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please, and turn to 541. 541. Our invitation is open if anyone would like to come to our altar and pray. You come as we sing.
Come, every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him.
If no one comes, we'll close the invitation. Maybe God has spoken to you this morning about baptism or church membership. I encourage you to say yes to the Lord, and He'll help you with all other decisions. Let's sing that last verse, and then we'll close.
Yes, Jesus is the truth, the light, and believe on.